You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
And I guess that makes me poo.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Happy New Year!
Folks, tonight going into the new year, I thought it'd be apropos to read an article from the South Dakota Citizen that appeared in March 1994. And I've referred to this article a couple of times in previous broadcasts, but I never got around to reading it. And quite frankly, I think it's time. We should go into the new year understanding where we're at. And this is a woman sharing a true story, and she urges that everybody pay attention to politics. Her name is Kitty Werthmann. And when she speaks of government intrusion and loss of freedom, she knows exactly what she's talking about, ladies and gentlemen, because she lived it. She was born in Austria. And Mrs. Werthmann lived under Hitler's rule for 7 years and subsequently under Soviet communist rule for 3 years. Her eyewitness account is startling, especially as it relates to current trends in our own country. Today, Mrs. Werthmann, a naturalized American citizen, lives in Pierre, South Dakota, and is president of South Dakota Eagle Forum, which is a pro-family lobbying organization. She's also the wife of a physician and mother of four children. Her oldest son was killed in an automobile accident in 1979. And what you're going to hear now is Kitty's own story. And here it is. What I'm about to tell you is something you probably never read or ever or will ever read in history books. I believe that I'm an eyewitness to history. I cannot tell you that Hitler took Austria by tanks and guns. It would distort history. We elected Hitler by 98% of the vote. I've never read that in any American publications. Everyone thinks that Hitler just rolled in with his tanks and took Austria over. In 1938, Austria was in deep depression. We had nearly one-third of our workforce unemployed, 25% inflation, and a 25% interest rate from banks. Farmers and business people were declaring bankruptcy every day. Young people were going from house to house begging for food. Not that they didn't want to work, but there simply wasn't any work. My mother was a very devout woman who believed that you have to help the people in need. I remember she had a big kettle of soup every day on the stove. And we baked bread to feed those poor hungry people, about 30 each day. The Communist Party and the National Socialist Party were fighting each other. Blocks and blocks of cities like Vienna, Linz, and Graz were being destroyed. The people became desperate and petitioned the government to let the people decide what kind of government they wanted. Remember, I've told you many times, be careful what you ask for because you might get it. We looked to our neighbor on the north, Germany, where Hitler had been in power since 1933. We had been told that they didn't have unemployment or crime, but they did have a high living standard. There was nothing being said of persecution of anyone, Jewish or otherwise, just that everyone was happy. We wanted the same thing for Austria. We were promised that if we would vote for Hitler, everyone would be employed in 2 or 3 weeks, and he would help the family. He also said that businesses would be helped, and the farmers would get their farms back. 98% of the population voted to annex Austria to Germany and have Hitler be our ruler. We were so joyful that for 3 days we danced in the streets and had candlelight parades. They opened up big field kitchens and everyone was fed. After the election, everyone was appointed from Germany. Like a miracle, suddenly we had law and order. 3 or 4 weeks later, everyone was employed. The government made sure that a lot of work was being created by the Public Works Service. Hitler decided we should have equal rights for women. Before this, it was a custom that married women did not work outside of the home. The husband would be looked down on because he couldn't support a family. The teaching profession was overjoyed that women could go back to the jobs they gave up for marriage. Our education was nationalized. I attended a very good school. 98% of the population was Catholic at that time, so we had religion in our schools. The day we elected Hitler, March 13, 1938, I walked into my schoolroom, and where we had a crucifix, it was replaced with Hitler's picture and the flag. Our teacher, a very devout woman, stood up and told the class that we wouldn't pray or have religion anymore. We sang Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles, and had physical education instead. Our parents were not happy about the sudden change. On Sunday, we had National Youth Day. It was compulsory to attend. We were told if our parents would not send us on Sunday, they would get a stiff letter of warning the first time. The second time, they would be fined the equivalent of $300, and the third time, they would be subject to jail. As time went along, we loved it. The first 2 hours, we had political indoctrination. The rest of the day, we had sports. Oh, we had so much fun and got our sports equipment free. We would go home and tell our parents gleefully what a wonderful time we were having. My mother was very unhappy. When the next term started, she took me out of public school and put me in a convent. I told her she couldn't do that, and she told me that someday when I grew up, I might be grateful. I almost hated my mother. There was a very good curriculum, hardly any fun, no sports, and no political indoctrination. I hated it at first, but felt I could tolerate it. Every once in a while, on holidays, I went home. I would go back to my old friends and ask what was going on and what they were doing. Their lifestyle was very alarming to me. By that time, it was glorified to be an unwed mother, to have a baby for Hitler. They lived a very loose lifestyle without religion. It seemed strange to me that all of this changed so suddenly. As time went along, I realized what a great deed my mother did so that I wasn't exposed to that kind of philosophy. In 1939, the war started and a food bank was established. That meant all food was rationed and you couldn't buy anything without food stamps. At the same time, the full employment law was passed, which meant if you didn't work, you didn't get a ration card. And if you didn't have one, you starved to death. The women who stayed home and raised their family for years and didn't have any skills often had to take a job that was for men. Soon after this, the draft was implemented. It was compulsory for young people, male or female, to give 1 year in the labor corps. During the day, the girls had to work on the farms, and then at night they returned to their barracks and had their military training, just like the men. They were trained to be anti-aircraft gunners and in the Signal Corps. After the Labor Corps, they were not discharged, but were used in the front lines. When I go back to Austria and visit my friends, most of those women are emotional cripples because they just were not geared to do the same thing that men did in combat. 3 months before I turned 18, I was severely injured in an air raid attack. I nearly had a leg amputated, so I was spared having to go into the Labor Corps and into the military service. Socially, Hitler had to restructure the family. When the mothers had to go out into the workforce, the government immediately established child care centers. You could bring your child from age 4 weeks on up to school age and leave them there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, under the total absolute care of the state. There were no motherly women there to take care of the children, just people highly trained in child psychology. They raised a whole generation by state. By that time, no one talked about equal rights. We knew we had been had. Before Hitler, we had very good medicine. Many doctors from America came over to train at the University of Vienna. After Hitler, all the health care was socialized, free for everyone. The doctors were all salaried by the government. The problem was, since it was free, the people were going to the doctors for everything. When the good doctor arrived at his office at 8 o'clock in the morning, 40 people were already waiting, and at the same time, the hospitals were full. If you needed elective surgery, you had to wait a year or two until your turn came. There was no money for research because they poured it all into free Medicare for everybody. Work at the medical schools was literally stopped, so the doctors left and went to other countries. As for welfare, our tax rates went up to 80%. Any young couple who got married immediately received a $1,000 loan from the government to establish a household. We had big programs for families. All day care and education was free. Going to college was subsidized, and high school was taken over by the government. Everyone who was entitled to something, whether it was food stamps, clothing, or subsidized housing, was given it by the government. We had another agency designed to control the businesses. I had a brother-in-law whose restaurant had square tables and chairs. The government told him he had to have round tables because people can bump themselves on the corners. Then they said he had to have more bathroom facilities. It was just a small business, a dairy business with a snack bar. His business couldn't survive with all the demands. Soon he went out of business. If the government owned the large businesses and not many small businesses existed, they could be in control. We had consumer protection. We were told how we should shop and what we should buy. Free enterprise was literally abolished. We had a planning agency, especially designed for farmers and private property owners. The agents would go to the farms, count the livestock, then tell the farmer what to produce and how to produce it. In 1944, I was a student teacher in a small village in the Alps. The villages were surrounded by mountain passes, which in the winter were closed off with snow, causing people to be isolated. So people intermarried. By genetics, the offspring were often retarded. When I got there, I was told there were 15 adult mentally retarded people, but they were all useful and did good manual work. I knew one named Vincent really well. He was the janitor of the school. One day I looked out the window and saw Vincent and others getting into a van. I asked my superior what they were doing. She said it was the state health department taking him to an institution to teach him a trade and to read and write. The families had to sign a paper. The paper had a little clause that they could not visit for 6 months because it would interfere with their program and they might get homesick. When the 6 months passed, letters started to dribble back saying these people died a natural, merciful death. The villagers were not ignorant. We suspected what was happening. Those people all left in excellent physical health and all died within 6 months. We called this euthanasia. Next came gun registration. People were getting injured by guns. Hitler also said that the real way to catch the criminals, and we still had a few, was by the serial numbers of the guns. So we had to register our guns. Most of the people were law-abiding and dutifully marched to the police station and registered their guns. Not long afterward, they said that it was best for everyone to turn in their guns. They already knew who had the guns, so you had to turn them in, or they would come and get them. We knew then that we had a full dictatorship. No more freedom of speech. If you said anything against the government, you were taken away. We knew many people who were taken away, not only Jews, but priests and ministers. It didn't come overnight. It took 5 years, from 1938 until 1943, to graduate into dictatorship. If we had had a dictatorship overnight, we would have fought to our last breath, but we had creeping gradualism. Now we had nothing except broom handles. The whole thing was almost unbelievable, that you can feed all this to the masses, little by little, and no one would object. It's true, those of us who sailed past the Statue of Liberty came to a country of unbelievable freedom and opportunity. America is the greatest country in the world. Don't let freedom slip away. After America, there is no place to go. That's the end of the article. Now, I think if you have half a brain, you can recognize that most of what I read that she described that happened in Hitler's Germany is now happening here today. And no, we haven't had euthanasia yet, but there is a great outcry from some corners to make it legal. And not too long ago, one state voted and made it legal, ladies and gentlemen. And that's not all. Where were your children today? In a state-controlled daycare center? I'll bet you a lot of them were. In fact, I'll bet most of the children in the country under elementary school age were dutifully housed in a state-controlled daycare center, learning how to live in the New World Order, while both parents were working just to keep 2 cars in the garage, a television in every room, designer clothes on everybody's back, credit cards in their wallets, and I could go on and on and on, but what's the point? Since this is the last show we'll do before New Year's, folks, because tomorrow night, I think. Yes, tomorrow night is New Year's Eve. Let's open the phones and let you guys have the floor. In fact, everybody that calls can have exactly 1 minute. Listen carefully, folks. I'm going to let everybody have 1 minute to say whatever you want. I won't interrupt you. I will not say anything in reply. We'll just go to the next caller. Say anything you want. I don't care what it is, except no obscene or foul language. If I hear that, I'll cut you off instantly. Anything else you want to say? Go ahead. The forum is yours. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm calling from Tampa.
Goodbye. Folks, if you're going to call, you got 1 minute. Say anything you want. If you can't talk, don't call. Simple as that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. It's great to talk to you. This is Paul from Bristol, Rhode Island. I would just like to say that you hit the nail right on the head, as usual. People around here think I'm from another world when I talk about the New World Order. And I know a couple of people who have investigated conspiracy theories through the 60s, and they seem to think that it was just one race that was doing it, probably like the Jews. And I try to explain to them that it's just, it's all races, it's not one race. And people just need to be woken up and quit watching television. My father is about 75, and he was educated the typical way through the media, and it's hard getting through to him. I'm taping this show. Do you have any advice for them?
No. This is your night, and your minute's up. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Okay. The number for new listeners is 602-337-2524. 602-337-2524. 1-800-273-2424. During the day, remember, when we're not on the air, that's our fax number if you ever want to send us a fax. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, I'm not going to take my whole minute and hope I can get a reply from you, but I heard today on the guy filling in for Chuck Carter, Joel Vincent, someone called in and said the Constitution Party was going to run Colin Powell for president. I'm thinking this has to be some kind of misunderstanding or a different party. I'll hang up and listen to your reply.
Well, I don't have any reply. I'm one of the founders of the Constitution Party, and if you didn't hear anything like that here, then it's a lie. I bet you Chuck Carter didn't check on it or anything else, and I bet that rumor's flying across the country. No, absolutely not. Negative zero. Zip. Zilch. No. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. I'm going to talk to the world. You need to buy William Cooper's book, Behold the Pale Horse, and read it 3 or 4 times, try to understand it, read it again, keep reading it. Another book you need to look at is Bankruptcy 1995. The Republicans have taken over. They could make that book happen in 1995. It could be a made-for-TV movie if you'll watch it. I'll give back to Don for my time. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. 602-337-2524 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
This is Richard from Spartanburg, South Carolina. That article you read, hit the nail right on the head. And I don't know if y'all talked about this week, but on the Donahue Show, when they talked about the militias, they took 3 words out of the Second Amendment, which were for the people. They cut it out, and when they flashed it on the screen, I don't think it was an accident. That's all I got to say. Have a happy new year.
Thank you. 602-337-2524 is the number if you're a new listener. Remember, when we're not on the air, using that number as a call-in line, that is our fax number. Our regular voice number is 602-337-2562 during the daytime. Good evening. You're on the air.
Because all you of Earth are idiots.
Thank you, Blair Alper. Didn't think I'd recognize your voice, did you, you little twit? 602-337-2524. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill Cooper. Hey, hope everything goes good for you in the new year. Mrs. Workman's words were absolutely correct, and if you would like to read them, I'd like to tell your listeners that there's a book called The Nazi Doctors by Robert J. Lifton, and you'll see a lot of the rhetoric that we hear today about health care and about socialized medicine and how it was sold to the Germans. And believe it or not, in the field of eugenics, they happen to have learned that from us. Another good book is The World Must Know by Michael Bierenbaum, and it'll tell you all about what happens when you let people have your guns and let them have your power. And the last thing is, if you could send to the U.S. government and get the United States Special Operations Forces posture statement, page 1 talks a lot about the New World Order, and somewhere inside of there it talks about these new exoskeleton suits. It's a real eye-opener. Keep up the good work, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Remember, folks, Nazis were socialists. That's what's coming. If you don't believe it, stick around. You're going to find out. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Up until about 6 months ago, I was one of those sheeple, as you call them. But I ran into a few fellows, friends of mine up in New Hampshire, and I was awoke. I can't believe. I just can't believe what I've been led into. I sat you a couple days ago. I'm a Vietnam vet like yourself, Marine, and I'm a Mason. And I can't believe how I was lied to, and I just don't believe it. I just can't believe it, but now I do, and I will renounce my masonry, and I just will, you know, God bless you, and just keep doing all you can for us, please, because we need someone like you. Thank you. Have a happy new year.
Thank you, and I know that takes a lot of courage to do that and say that, so God bless you, my friend. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, love your show. I haven't been listening for that long, but I wanted to thank you, and on behalf of a lot of people in that I know who've been turned on to your show and your book. And actually, I just wanted to say briefly that I had my first contact with an old friend of mine from college who I found out was a Freemason, third degree, and was telling me how benevolent his lodge was and how there's nothing, well, he got really upset even at any implication that there could be anything going on in the higher degrees. And he said, I said, well, look, if you don't know anything about it, how do you know? I mean, basically, he started foaming at the mouth when I mentioned certain things, and I was just wanted to relay that and say that they're nervous. That's all. Thanks a lot.
Well, they should be, because their scam has been revealed. Their dirty underwear is flapping in the breeze, and everybody can see it now. Since I did the series on Mystery Babylon, there are no more secrets, period. And anybody who wants to study it, it's in their own words. They have admitted it over and over again in their own writings, in their own words, in their own publications, in their own newsletters for last several centuries. So there is absolutely no doubt about it. You have to remember, when you're talking to Freemasons, they take an oath. They can't reveal the secrets. They're not going to tell you the truth, period. And if they're on the lower levels or degrees, they're not going to believe it because they've been lied to. They don't know anything about it. And most of them join just because their friends belong, and it gives them an edge in business in their town and also in the courts. So they don't study the symbolism. They don't read the books. They're fair-weather idiots that join something they know nothing about, and they're telling you that there's nothing going on in the higher degrees that to which they have not attained yet, and so don't know. So really, you're talking to some very stupid people when you talk to these people. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Your minute is ticking away. Goodbye. 602-337-2524 is the number. If you want to put in your 1 minute's worth tonight. So, good evening, you're on the air.
What similarities exist between the Fraternal Order of Police and the worst speakers of Masonry in particular? Do they take blood oaths?
You have to ask somebody that belongs to the Fraternal Order of Police. I would suggest that you ask Jack McLam, who is a member. You're welcome. 602-337-2524. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Fraternal Order of Police is nothing more than another branch of Freemasonry. Wonder why your police are going to hell? Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Cooper. My name is Dennis. I'm calling from the Atlanta, Georgia area. I just wanted to tell you that we appreciate you here in the Atlanta area. I want you to be encouraged. We're praying for you and your family. And just keep up the good work, Bill. We love you here and hope to see you come to this part of the country real soon.
Thank you. Hope to be there real soon. I usually go to Atlanta at least once a year.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you then.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, only two people have taken even close to their minute. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back. Got to take a little break.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to take this time and wish everybody listening a very happy new year on behalf of everyone down in Phoenix at Swiss America Trading. And on behalf of myself and my family and everybody here, I want to wish Swiss America Trading and all of the people there, Craig Smith and Gene and everybody else, a very, very happy new year. Gosh, we've been together for, I guess it's been over 2 years now. And we've been broadcasting the hour of the time about 2 3/4 years. And ladies and gentlemen, the relationship has been wonderful. I can honestly tell you, with no qualms whatsoever, that everyone that I've met, from Craig Smith all the way down to the people who work in the bookkeeping and all the little menial tasks, the receptionists at the front desk, are wonderful people. And we've become good friends with many of them. In fact, friends that probably will last for the rest of our life. That's how good these people really are. When I need precious metals for my family, I purchase them from Swiss America Trading. And I do it just like you guys do. The only relationship that we have on a business level, ladies and gentlemen, as far as the sponsorship goes, is they pay for the airtime for the hour of the time. That means all the fees for the shortwave and WWCR and WHRI for the 4 days, 4 nights we were on there until they chickened out. And the satellite time is all paid for by Swiss America Trading. Everything else we do with them, we do either as friends or as customers, just like all of you. Now, you're not going to find another business that has all of the, and I'm talking specifically a business in precious metals, that has all of the advantages that you have when you deal with Swiss America Trading. They have a guarantee. They have a buyback program. How many of you ask when you buy precious metals about buyback programs, just in case something goes wrong and you decide, hey, this ain't the right deal for you? How many of you know that everything's recorded when you deal with Swiss America Trading, so that if one of their people tells a lie to you, all they have to do is get out the tape and play it, and there are no secrets? Also, if you tell a lie about whoever you dealt with, get the tape out and play it, and that's exposed also. And believe me, it works. It works so good that there are hardly ever any questions or any dissatisfied people who deal with Swiss America Trading. And when it does occasionally happen, we get out the tape. Craig Smith and I talk about it. We decide what we're going to do, and we make it right real quick. And I have given you my pledge, folks, that if they don't make it right, I will, by hook or crook, somehow, because I will not let anybody who does anything on my word get taken by anyone for any reason. I just won't allow it. In fact, if I had to sell my house and everything I owned to make it right, I would do that. I deal very much most of my life on principle. And if I couldn't back our sponsor, I would not allow them to sponsor us. If you derive real worth from listening to the hour of the time, I recommend that you deal with Swiss America Trading. Not only do you get the best deal and the best relationship when you deal with Swiss America Trading, you also are demonstrating your loyalty. One thing that I've learned about the so-called patriots, many of them aren't, but they like to tout that name around, they don't support the programs that support them. And that's one of the reasons why we're losing this battle, folks. Socialists put their money where their mouth is in large amounts, and sometimes they do without the things that they would like to have to make their programs work. Not too many conservatives or so-called patriots do that. And I recommend that you start, though, because we are engaged in a war. Just as sure as if you were standing in the middle of Vietnam at the height of that war with the bombs raining down and the AK-47s going off and the helicopters blasting away with their M-60s and the miniguns from Puff chewing up the ground. Right now it's being fought mostly with words and legal battles. But very soon it will deteriorate into the kind of war that I just described. You can bet your boots on that. So you better get involved. You've got to make a choice. You've got to prepare. You must make sure that your assets have at least some protection. Call Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Instead of doing business with someone who might offer you a little bit cheaper deal and then be out of business in 6 months or 2 years, and don't offer the buyback plan, and don't sponsor a program that really gives you something in return. Rather than do that, folks, call Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did. And whether you want precious metals or not, call them and thank them for sponsoring this broadcast. And wish them all a very happy new year. They deserve it. Good evening, you're on the air.
Bill, good evening. Earlier today, I'm calling from South Carolina, by the way. My name's Joe. Earlier tonight in North Carolina, in Charlotte, my brother and I saw some tanks heading from south to north along South Boulevard, Charlotte, smack through downtown Charlotte. And I've lived in the Carolinas for 12 years. There are a lot of military bases here, but I've never seen this many tanks coming through a big city like this before. Most of them were green. There were some tan ones, kind of desert camo style. Also, I'd like to encourage your listeners, when they get a chance to get on local radio in their town, local talk radio, to go on and try to make some intelligent comments. Using your book, I've been able to go on, and by listening to your show, I've been able to go on and give a lot of facts. Today, I was talking about Freemasons on the local radio, and the local DJ was just trying to make a joke of the whole issue, as were most of the callers, but I came on and tried to intelligently and calmly give some of the facts I learned from your book and some others, and was able to turn the turn of the show around, and sure enough, several Freemasons were listening and started calling in and offering some very feeble defenses. And the host became very skeptical when none of them would give him any of the information that he wanted.
Of course not. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
602-337-2524. Yeah, they have no defense when they're facing someone who has it together and has done their research and can quote their own people in their own books and their own publications and can recite history. They can't stand up to that. They fall by the wayside quickly. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, how you doing this evening?
Fine. Your minute's ticking away.
I just thought I'd let you know, I think it's a wonder what $600 will buy today. It'll buy so much arrogance.
602-337-2524. Another little twit that can't make a point, can't deal with facts, can't stand up and talk about information. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. This is Rick in Tons, Massachusetts. I just want to say you had a caller earlier that they were laughing. This is not a joke. This is serious. Our country's being destroyed. People better wake up. Smarten up. Good night, Mr. Cooper, and God bless you.
Good night. God bless you. But you don't need to reply to people like that. They don't have any brains. They don't care. They'll be happy in the New World Order because that's what they need. A big daddy to change their diapers, feed them, give them a job, tell them when to get up and when to go to sleep. So don't pay any attention to them. That's the best thing you can do. Just leave them alone. They'll get what they deserve. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, good evening from Ocala, Florida. I just want to say Ron Adams sends his best to you this evening. I want to say Happy New Year to all the Patriots of Central Florida, especially up in Gainesville. I want to remind everybody that on January 9th, we need to be up there at City Hall to make sure that that UN flag doesn't get hoisted back up the flagpole. We're going to make sure that that doesn't ever happen again. We want to thank you, sir, for all your help in that area and we're going to make sure that the state of Florida remains free. And that's about all I got to say. And Publius said that. Good night.
Thank you. 602-337-2524. Very few people are using a full minute. So if you call, remember, you got a minute. If you got a watch there, say whatever you, you know, get all you can in that minute. It's your minute. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, sir. Are you the author of the book, A Pale Horse?
Yes, but this is your minute.
Okay, I know. I'm just trying to find some information. I'm getting off. I just want to know, is there any way I can get that piece that you read about the lady that was in Germany and describing and comparing to America today?
Well, if you were listening, it's from the South Dakota Citizen.
Oh,
March 1994. I always give the references of anything that I read. You should be able to get that paper or go to that newspaper and get that article.
South Dakota Citizen.
Yes.
Oh, that's the newspaper.
Yes.
What date now, sir?
March 1994.
Okay, thank you, sir. I know somebody enjoys your book besides me. Thank you.
You're welcome. 602-337-2524. Folks, this night is for you to talk for 1 minute about whatever you want. Don't call and ask me questions. You're just you're taking time away from somebody who could be talking. This is your New Year's Eve talk-a-thon, whatever you want to say. Even, I don't care what you want to say. You say anything. You got 1 minute. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Chris in Seminole. Probably recognize me. Just want to give a few quotes. This is from Thomas Jefferson in a letter on September 20th, 1810. It refers to jurors' rights while we're still able to have courts. A quote, a strict observance of the written law is doubtless one of the high virtues of a good citizen, but it is not the highest. The laws of necessity, of self-preservation, of saving our country when in danger, are of a higher obligation, end quote. And this is from the Columbia Dictionary of Quotations from Columbia University Press, if anybody's interested. And also Sparks versus Hansen, volume 156, it's a Supreme Court case from 1895. Says that judges aren't required to tell jurors of their right to determine both the facts, what they believe to be the facts, and whether the law should be applied, whether they believe it's constitutional or ethical or valid, or if it's against their religious beliefs. So, and also, if I have enough time, this will take a second. John Jay said, quote, the jury has the right to judge both the law as well as the fact in controversy, end quote. And he was the very first Chief Justice for our Supreme Court in a case called Georgia versus Brailsford in 1794.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
602-337-2524 is the number. You got a chance, folks. Call up. You got 1 minute to make your mark on the world. Say something brilliant. Help people. Or you can call up and say something really stupid. It's up to you. Good evening. You're on the air.
The big green dragon is waiting for you, you arrogant lout.
Well, there's another one. He chose to say something stupid so that the whole world would know that he has no brain. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. I didn't hear anybody mention anything about our downed pilot, the one that was killed, brought back from Korea. CNN last week showed the pictures of him putting the UN flag on his coffin. They got some golem, son of a beast.
Well, if you were listening to the Hour of the Time, you would have heard me say that.
Oh, I didn't hear it. I've been trying to get you just about every night, too. But keep up the good work, Bill. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Right.
602-337-2524. By the way, folks, all of these people who are calling with this with these little twit remarks, these are people who are little socialists who are used to having free airtime on the satellite. And just recently I put the kibosh on that because I don't like paying for their free airtime. I don't like socialism at all. So what you're hearing is their ire being stirred up because they no longer can do the things that they were doing. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? Been listening to you for years since you started on 7.435. I can't believe the number of people that listen to you vacillate back and forth and aren't hip to all this. You contradict yourself constantly. But
wait a minute.
Time period. I thought this was my minute, though.
No, it is. Go ahead, but make your point.
I'm getting there. You said you wouldn't interrupt. I could have a minute here.
Go ahead.
All right. Now, you look, just one example. You said, you know, that people should have all this silver and gold and stuff. But then you turn around a week later and say that, you know, your family can carry all their belongings on their back. Well, I'd like to see you carrying all that silver around and get somewhere. And this rhetoric you picked up from some time in the past from Europe, you know, that's well and good for all these dummies, but I just can't believe how many people are swallowing this stuff whole and don't have any intelligence. Other than that, I do listen every night, have been for years. Good luck to you, and hang in there. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Boy, isn't that amazing. He says that you're all stupid, but the only thing that he could find fault with and make any point of was that somehow we can't carry all our gold and silver on our back. Doesn't take much gold, folks, to make an awful lot of money in what's coming. And you don't have to carry it on your back as long as you can get to it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Greetings. I've listened to your show. I've been listening to your show for better than a year. The amount of information that you've given me has enabled me to learn so much. I really want to thank you for it. And I would really like to know when you're going to have your next convention so I could arrange to be there.
It'd probably be February or March.
Is that right? That's great. Yeah.
Probably March.
I'll be working on it.
Okay.
Thanks very much. God bless you.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
By the way, folks, when I broke in with that previous caller, it wasn't to cut off his time. In fact, I would have given him extra time. What I was going to do is ask him to explicitly talk about what it was that he seems to be upset about. And he never did, so we still don't know what it is that he doesn't like. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening. Calling from Indiana. For anybody who is uninformed out there that puffs their chest out when we talk about democracy in our country and in other countries, I just like to set the record straight with a few quotes. Democracy doesn't appear in our Constitution. The word democracy never appeared in the Declaration of Independence. Democracy is majority rule in regard to legislation. There's no fixed standard of right and wrong. So if the majority says that grandma should be euthanized, well, then it becomes law. We, the people, established a constitutional republic. That's a government of law where the majority is subservient to the unalienable rights, which basically go in line with the Ten Commandments. America is not a democracy. It's a constitutional republic. And the Founding Fathers.
Sorry, but your minute's up, my friend.
Yes, bye-bye.
Thank you. 602-337-2524 is the number. You have exactly 1 minute to make your mark on the world or say something absolutely stupid and inane. It's your choice. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. I'd just like to say that television has ruined America, and that most people are so brainwashed by it, I can't get anybody to believe anything that's really going on. And also, I just got my first handgun here, and I'm going to practice. And that's all I've got to say, so thank you for opening up the lines. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. 602-337-2524 is the number. If you haven't had your minute yet, give us a call. Say anything you want, whatever it is. If you're going to criticize the program, we wish you'd be specific so we'd know exactly what it is that you're criticizing. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm here.
Yes, you are.
Okay. I'm a new listener. I've been listening for a little while. I'm calling from Pennsylvania. And I would like to say that, first of all, I know you speak a lot of people who should check things out before they put weight to them, and you are correct. But I also feel that you yourself are a source of information. And the second thing I wanted to say was that my father-in-law, my father-in-law was a young child, young boy in Germany when Hitler was taken over. And I just want to say that you're correct. As far as the guns were concerned, his dad had guns in the house. And he used to tell stories of how his father bury his guns so that the Nazis wouldn't get them. So I just wanted to pass it on that it was true. My wife's German, from Germany, and I got the story. Anyhow, I'm happy to have gotten through to you, and you're doing a great job. Keep it up, sir.
Thank you very much.
Nice.
Well, there's only one person who went over and one person who used exactly his minute. That was the person who used exactly his minute. Anybody else that calls, make sure that you try to use all the time that you have. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. I'm calling you from Texas. Been listening to you for a while. Enjoy the show. Two things I need to talk about. One is standardization of a load for 308 rounds. We need to standardize the overall length. I'd recommend 2.798 inches, powder charge, 48 grains. If we use the Sierra Match King bullet or the Nosler ballistic tip, they'll fire in any rifle. Second thing, walking the talk. We need to use that silver and the gold for money. Specifically, we need to start taking silver and gold amongst each other for legal cash and tender, and try to use the paper money as little as possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Many of us have been doing that for years. Folks, we take gold and silver here anytime that we can, and we also reciprocate and use gold and silver with other patriots who will take that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hello?
You're on the air.
Hello?
Your minute has started.
Okay. I want to talk about the Nazis and socialism. Oh, and the what I want to say is that we shouldn't. The Nazism died 50 years ago. What about the Marxist socialism that's going on now? Also, I'd like to say that with the Trilateral Commission combining capitalism with the modern day socialism, the international bankers are trying to set up their own Federal Reserves, creating a new world order. Thank you.
You're welcome. But you're a lot late. I mean, they set up the Federal Reserve a long time ago. It belongs to the bankers. It doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong to the government. It's a private corporation. And what the Trilateral Commission is doing is what Hitler did, combining the government with the corporation, the government and corporate merging. Good evening. You're on the air. And as far as I'm concerned, folks, all socialism is the same. It all sucks, and so do all socialists. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, did you personally interview the people that were with Linda when she was arrested in Indianapolis, or did you take her word for it?
I don't take anybody's word for anything.
Well, I believe you stated it to be factual.
Stated what to be factual?
That she was arrested, put in a van, stopped, almost assassinated.
No, I didn't say any of that. She did. She said it as a guest on this program.
You said it over your broadcast.
No, I didn't. She did.
And you believed it?
I didn't say whether I believed it or not. It was her story.
Well, I'm asking you, do you believe it?
I have no reason not to believe it, but I haven't checked it. Until I check it, I don't know if it's fact or not. Neither do you.
When will you do that?
When it becomes important to me. It's not important to me. If it's important to you, I suggest you do it.
Well, if it was that important, you shouldn't have mentioned it over there.
I didn't mention it on the air. She told her story on here when she was interviewed on this show.
It's what you preach.
What are you talking about?
You say, don't...
Good night, dummy. Until you can get your thoughts in gear, until you know what you're talking about, don't call. And you spoke over your minute. And by the way, folks, I wouldn't have butted in, but he asked me specific questions. 602-337-2524. You see how these socialists are, folks? That guy was a socialist who doesn't like the hour of the time. He obsessed on Linda's interview. He hasn't checked any of it out. He doesn't know if it's true or not. Neither do I. All I know is Linda's story that she told on the air when she was interviewed. You know, that's the way these people are. They have no brains. They make no sense. They cannot even get their thoughts together, and they cannot even explain to anybody what in the hell they're talking about. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. How are you, sir?
Fine.
I am an American patriot, an adopted child to a giving and loving second family. I have never sought my original parents, for the ones who reared me taught all I'll ever need to know about being a patriot. I learned early on that a man without a gun is a man without a choice. I have studied Budo Shinsu and many other forms of living, none have eventually steered me as hard as the revelation, finally, that our own country was in as much peril. I therefore have decided that my best course is one of conflict with the current and illegal regime. Many, including myself, have wondered at what it would be like to lose our freedom, much less our lives. Let me say now and forever, it is better to die on your feet as a man than on your knees as a slave. For these reasons, I've chosen the only way left to me, the way of the warrior. I will no doubt die in this conflict so that the children of tomorrow may live in freedom, making exactly the same choices as the men on Normandy Beach did so many years ago. All I ask is this of you, my brothers, when your children are of age, that you relay my story to them. In this, you will have fulfilled my every wish.
Thank you for calling. Well, folks, that's it for tonight. I wish you all, everybody, even the dummies, the socialists, and the twits, maybe someday you'll wake up and understand what it is that you're on the verge of losing. Anyway, I hope that you do. I wish you all a very happy new year, good night, and God bless you all.